This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Welcome, everyone. We're learning Mesechta Moed Katan, Daf Yud Ches Amar Aleph. And the Gemara just brought the opinion of Ula. Because so far, this whole parak, the name of the parak is Elo Megalchin. The following are allowed to shave. However, we did not discuss cutting nails. Now, cutting nails is for sure going to be more lenient than shaving. Because many people will go into a Yom Tov without shaving because they don't think it's that disgusting. However, long nails is really, people recognize as something mios, and people will not go into the Yom Tov as much with long nails as they will with unkempt. Now, Rev, the Gemara said, the Gemara had just brought two machlokes in. The first machlokes was whether you're allowed to cut your nails on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda says no, Rabbi Yossi says yes. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to cut your nails on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to. Then the Gemara brought a machlokes by Avel. And that is, the Gemara brought the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Avel cannot cut his nails, and Rabbi Yossi matters. So Rabbi Yossi is consistently mekel, and Rabbi Yehuda is consistently machmer. No, we didn't mention the possibility of shinoi. We're talking about cutting your nails regularly. We'll see later in the Gemara whether a shinoi changes it or makes it.
Is that Rabbi Yehuda and Miriam's classic case, Rabbi
Yehuda
and shinoi and
yeah, no, but they don't argue about that. This is not a machlokes about shinoi. This is a machlokes about whether you ought to cut your nails sai as a Chol HaMoed and sai as an avel. Yeah. So the Gemara says on the bottom line, Amar Ula halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda ba'avel v'halacha k'Rabbi Yossi b'mayid. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda by an avel, that an avel cannot cut his nails. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi on Chol HaMoed. Yeah? So what do we learn from here? That Chol HaMoed is more lenient than avelos, because we're going to be machmir on by an avel, and we're going to be mekel on Chol HaMoed. That's the opinion of Ula. Shmuel Amar, halacha Rabbi Yossi b'mayid uv'avel. Not only are we mekel like Rabbi Yossi by Chol HaMoed, but we're even mekel like Rabbi Yossi by avel. Okay? So that means we're consistently mekel. The Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel said, halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel. The halacha is always like the lenient one by an avel. So, not only are we mekel by Chol HaMoed, like Ula said, Shmuel says we're even mekel on by... we're even mekel on an avel. Now, is this even Shiva? Presumably, yes. Presumably, even Shiva. The Gemara doesn't say. Now we're going to see later, the Gemara makes a comment about Avel. And Tosfos says, Davka la'achar Shiva. If you look, the Gemara is going to say later about trimming a mustache, then Avel is allowed to trim a mustache. And Tosfos is going to learn that that's only after Shiva within Shloshim. But here, nobody says anything, so presumably it's even within Shiva. Now the Gemara cites a rule, and this is a very important rule, and that is halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel, which is the most abused rule in halacha b'chol haTorah kula. Halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel. What does that mean, halacha kedivrei hamekel? It's nothing to do with halacha l'maisa. Meaning, let's say you have a shaila. I don't know. Some poskim say I should be machmir. Some poskim say I should be mekel. So I don't know what to do. It would be mekel. There's no such rule. The halacha is the toisus on daf chav dalet. The klal of halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel is only a machlokes tanoim, not even a machlokes amoraim. Certainly not a machlokes rishonim, and for sure not a machlokes achroinim. It's a specific klal when it comes to tanoim. Take a look when you see it inside. Toisus on daf chav dalet. The fourth to last Tosfos, Divrei Hamaskel, Hachi Omer Rav Yochanan. The end of the Tosfos. Tosfos says, V'yaf agav de kaimelon. And it's a oft-repeated rule in Moed Katan. Halacha kedivrei hamekel. Hani mili b'machlokes shel tanoim. Aval b'mil sadam eroi loy amron. Okay? So that's some a very important idea that this rule that we're mekel by avelus is only by a machlokes tanoim. Over here, namely, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Fine. Pinchas Achua de Mar Shmuel, Pinchas the brother Mar Shmuel, Isra be Milsa. Now, what does Isra be Milsa mean? Rashi in the Iksaviyat says his son passed away, but literally it doesn't mean that. Isra be Milsa means something bad happened to him, but Rashi in the Iksaviyat says his son passed away. All Shmuel lemishal taima. Shmuel went to console him. Literally, he went to ask the reason. Rashi says, "Ladaber aliboy de Pinchas." He went to console him. So Shmuel went to console him. Chazinu. So Shmuel saw letufri de havenefishan. Shmuel saw that Pinchas's nails were long. Amalei said, "The Pinchas, am I lo shakatluhu? Why didn't you cut them?" That's what you asked before. You know, does it apply to an avel b'tach shiva? So it's mashma over here. Yeah. Amalei. So Pinchas says back to Shmuel, "I b'didei hava behava." If this was nageya to you, meaning if you were an avel, mim is azalt be kulehai, would you be so lenient? Meaning if you were in my shoes, would you be so lenient? Now that was not a proper thing to say, because we know there's a rule that one should not enunciate something bad with their mouth. Because you never know, the words that a person says have ramifications. It says the Gemara, hava kishgaga shiyotz milifnei hashalat. It was like an error that was emitted from the word of the ruler. Meaning Pinchas said, and if it was nageya to you, would you be so lenient? As if to say, and if you were an avel, you should never say such a statement.
In that state anyway, I mean, he's not in his right mind necessarily. I mean, it's not...
But he made a mistake. He shouldn't have said it. He was wrong.
In avelus, there's even...
Yeah, you're held account. I mean, you're not amazed, but you're a shoy. You're not an oinus either. You're a shoygig. You shouldn't have done it. You did something wrong. Did something wrong. In fact, we see a person's words have ramifications. There's an incredible taz. The taz says that let's say a person accidentally says Mashrach Mar Hagashem during the summer. So what's the halacha? You have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. So why? So I would have said because you didn't follow the matbea shetav by chacham. The chacham said you know how to say it, and you said it by accident. Call him a shana. No, says the Taz, because if you said Mashmach Mar Hagashem, it's going to rain and it's bad for the world. Now, what kind of guy are we talking about who said Mashmach Mar Hagashem? The guy was on autopilot. The guy had no idea what he's talking about. He's thinking about breakfast. He's thinking about when's school going to start for my kids already, get them out of the house. He's thinking about how am I going to pay for tuition this year. He's thinking about everything in the world except for rain. But he happened to accidentally say the words, Mashmach Mar Hagashem, and the whole ecosystem will switch because the guy mistakenly mentioned rain. That's how our Yibam Shem programmed us, that the words that we say have an effect. So what happened? V'isra be'milso b'shmuel. Shmuel had an avelos because of this. Okay? So, ol Pinchas achua l'mishal taimu minei. Pinchas, his brother, went to be menachim him. So what did Shmuel do? Shaklinu l'tofrei. Shmuel cut his nails, chavtinu lapi, and threw them in his face. He cut his nails and threw them in his face. Amar lei, Shmuel said, "Les lecha bris krusa l'svasayim." Don't you hold that a covenant has been sealed about the lips? Meaning, just like we say bris krusa, that the yud gimel midah shel rachamim lei tashuv rekam, that there's a concept that whenever we invoke the yud gimel midah, they will not be returned empty-handed. This is not just an idea, a principle, an inyan. There's a covenant that the Yibam Shem takes a person's words seriously. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Minayin Shabris Krusa L'Svasayim. How do we know there's a covenant sealed with the lips? Shenemar Vayoymer Avraham El Na'arav. And Avraham said to his lads, Shavulachem Poyim HaChamar, stay here with the donkey. Va'ani V'Hanar Nelcha Ad Koi. And I and the lad, we will go until Kai, we will go until yonder. V'nishtachave, we will bow, v'nashuv aleichem, we will return to you. Now, Avraham Avinu didn't really think that he would return with Yitzchak. He thought he would only return by himself. But God put the words in his mouth because he said the words, v'nashuv aleichem. That influence that he, in fact, returned with Yitzchak, v'estaya milsa, he had assistance, the hadar tarvah, that they both returned. So from here we learn that the words that a person says have a ramification on the outcome. So you would say, that's very nice. Maybe only a guy like Avraham Avinu, who was a tzaddik yisoid oilam, and who is a navi, and who was the Rosh HaMaminim. So maybe when he says words, they will come true. But, who am I? Anochi ofer ve'echer v'nachnuma. Who says when I say words, it has ramification as well? So you see from this Gemara that the Ribbono Shel Olam values you. Just like he values Avraham Avinu, he values you. And when you say words, they're meaningful. And they will actually... And therefore, one should not say to their friend something that, you know, somebody's ba'avelos, chas v'shalom, le'aleinu, they shouldn't say, well, one day you're not allowed to say that. It's a klala. You're not allowed to say that. And if you do say that, you're going to be held accountable for causing harm to somebody.
They're both They both did the same. They did the same. They reacted the same way. Just one said something.
Why?
The guy threw. The guy was in kass. He was in kass. Shmuel was in kass.
Who says you're not be in kass?
What?
Yeah.
Who says you can't be in kass?
Yeah.
Nothing worse than kass.
No, that's not one of the 613 lavin. If somebody insults you, are you allowed to insult them back? It's a machlokes rishonim. It's a machlokes. The Riva says you're allowed to. The Riva quotes the smag. That's if somebody hurts you monetarily. But what if somebody hurts you, insults you? It's a machlokes rishonim.
It's not nekama if you do it right away.
What?
It's not nekama if you do it right away.
What do you say?
It's not nekama.
No, no, so that's also, no.
The Ramban writes it, nothing worse than kass and gaiva. There's nothing worse.
Okay.
So you should be accountable because
those
you're
are the two worst
things. When you're not allowed to.
Hashem's not even...
When, halachically, there's no halacha. And that's only a midah, but there are times you're allowed to. If somebody insults you, are you allowed to insult them back? Yes or no?
Yeah, but...
Am I allowed to?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a different thing, right?
So Chafetz Chaim writes... That what?
It's two different things. To insult yeah, who's and be in kass.
And also, we don't know he was bekass. He just...
He
was telling him a message that you shouldn't have done that. He did it with... The Reb Pinchas Karatzer says...
It says, Zerakeni Meroid Kass.
Who says that?
Rashi.
So it was like he was allowed to. He insulted him. He caused him tsar. Who, Shmuel was? I mean, he wasn't accountable. Lamaisa, there's Machlokes Rishonim. The Balei HaToisus learn that if you ask somebody... Can I borrow your hammer? And they say no. So you're not allowed, and then they come to you, can I borrow your hammer? So you're not allowed to take revenge against them and not lend them your hammer. And you're not allowed to say, here's my hammer, I'm not like you. But if somebody insults you, then many Rishonim say, you're allowed to get back at them. If somebody calls you Agmas Nefesh, it's Machlokes Rishonim. Now it happens to be, the Chafetz Chaim says it's a Machlokes, it's a Suffolk Dairaisa, so we'll be Machmer. But many Rishonim say you're allowed to. It's only by Tzar of Mamoy, not by Tzar of Guf. And Stam Kass is a Midah. It happens to be a Midah. It's not mentioned in the Chumash. It's not mentioned in 613. Now, the Rambam writes, Kol HaKoyes Ki'ilu Oyved Avodah Zarah. Yeah? But it's a Pella on the Rambam, because it says nowhere in the whole Shas, Kol HaKoyes Ki'ilu Oyved Avodah Zarah.
These lips that were moved, what is that up here? Said it that morning. He says, what's that
Avera? What Avera? You caused me damage. You damaged it. You killed my relative.
The words yeah. of
you want to know it? You
could. The same way.
No. No, because you caused me damage. You're a groma. You're a goyim damage.
Words.
Yeah.
Who says the mice of Shmuel was because he's showing Pinchas that even that he's an Avera.
Rashi said it.
He didn't cause him any damage. He threw a tissue box in his face. He threw nails in his face.
Well, you're not allowed to throw nails in general.
Oh, so now we're going to get to the sugya of nails, right? Shaklino. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, leslach, okay, fine. Savar mine, says the Gemara, Savar mine diyad in deregaloi. They thought that during Avelos, it's mutter to cut one's nails because the fingernails are disgusting, but not the footnails. Meaning right now the Gemara feels that based on this halach of Shmuel, you're allowed to cut the nails of your finger because nails of your finger are disgusting. You come into shul with long nails, it doesn't look nice. But the foot, the finger, the footnails, nobody sees. Amar Ravanan bar Tachlifa, Ravanan bar Tachlifa said, Ledidi mefar shali minei de Shmuel, loishna diyav loishna derega. Ravanan bar Tachlifa said, it was explained to me that Shmuel holds that you're not only allowed to cut the nails of your finger, allowed to cut the nails of your foot also. Amar Rav Chia bar Ashi, Amar Rav, now we qualify this din. This whole din that we say you're allowed to cut your nails, uve genustra aser, to cut it with scissors, it's aser. Okay, Rashi learns genustari is scissors. Tosus learns, he quotes the Aruch, it's a nail clipper. Okay? Which means that this whole heter of cutting nails by an avel is this whole heter is only if you do it with a shinoi. Meaning the whole, even those who say you're allowed to do it, it's only with a shinoi. By avel, now by, it could be chalamoid, you could be mako, because we learned before that chalamoid is more lenient. So pashtus is chalamoid, you don't have to use a shinoi. Only by avelos use a shinoi. Now, what's a shinoi? Either you bite them, or you take off one with the other. Those are the two possibilities of shinoi. But to use, according to Rashi, scissors, according to Tosfos, a clipper, that is not permitted by avel, by chalamoid, it could be it is permitted.
Someone always bites their nails. Maybe they should be using
for normal people like
yeah,
you mean you want to know is it objective? Is it an objective shinoi or is it subjective?
He's doing the wrong thing.
Because when you on Shabbos, right, if you bite your lip,
right,
it's not a shinoi, that's an Isser D'oraisa.
Right. But that might be only the lip, the skin of the lip. Okay, now look at this. Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba. Rav Shemen Bar Abba said, "Have a ka'imna kamed Rav Yochanan be'mid Rasha b'chula shamayit. I was standing before Rav Yochanan chalamayit. V'shaklinu l'tufri b'shinei. He was biting his nails. V'zarkinu, and he was throwing it. Now Rav Yochanan was he's a classy man. Rav Yochanan was a handsome man. He had long eyelashes. And he's standing there in the shul. He's clipping off his nails. Shema mina tlas. From here we learn three halachas. Shema mina mutar litol tziparnayim b'chol shamayid. Number one, we see you're allowed to cut your nails on chalamayid. Ushma mina in b'hem yishamiyos. And we also see it's not disgusting to cut your nails. Because we know you're not allowed to do disgusting things in public. You're not bloodlet in public or drink from a bloodletting device, but you would think it's a disgusting thing. It's a meas thing. Yeah, whatever you got to do, go take it to your, close the door behind you and lock the door and do what you got to do in private. Why are you biting your nails in public? It's not nice. It's grub. No, it's fine. It's normal human behavior.
What about?
That's one second. Oh no, ushma mina mutul azarkan. We see you're allowed to throw your nails.
But we don't see that. I'm saying we right.
We're going to see, the Gemara is going to discuss, because, right. But right now we're bringing her. One second. Now, he bit them.
Right.
So we said earlier that on Chalamayit it could be you could use a tool.
Right.
So some Rishonim say, it's a raya that the same way you need to do a shinoi by Aval, you need to do a shinoi on Chalamayit. And some Rishonim say, no, it's in the Beis Medrash. It's not like on every table in the Beis Medrash there's a tissue box and a nail clipper. Yeah. Right? Most shuls that I have not yet seen. Yeah. Nail clippers in the shul, passing around nail clippers.
Ash trees,
what?
They got rid of them.
Maybe in the new talus bags that they have. Okay, so what do we learn? We learn three things. We learn you're allowed to cut your nails on chalamayit. Could be maybe only with a shinoi, maybe not. We learn that it's not mios, right? It's not considered disgusting. We learn you're allowed to throw them. But frek the Gemara, ani, but that's not true. We know you're not allowed to throw your nails. Vahatanya, shloisha dvarim nemru b'tziparnayim. They said three things about cutting nails. Hakoivron tzaddik. If you bury your nails, you're a tzaddik. Why are you a tzaddik? Because we're going to see that they pose a danger to a pregnant woman who passes over. So if you bury them to keep it out of the view, out of the walking area where people walk, you're a tzaddik. But the problem is, even if you bury, they could resurface. So it's not the best thing to burn them. What's the best thing? Sarfan chassid. If you burn them, you're a chassid, because this way they can never resurface. They can never... Zarkan, if you throw them, rasha, you're a rasha. Why? Taimamai, why are you a rasha? Shema tavar alein isha ubara. Maybe a pregnant woman will pass over them. Vitapil isha, and the vitapil, and she'll miscarry. So there's a concept that if a woman steps over nails when she's pregnant, she could miscarry. So the truth is that a person who cuts their nails in public and lets them fall on the floor, they could be a roitzeach. Now, the truth is, killing an ubar, don't tell people, there's no ritzicha in killing an ubar, but it is hashchasa zera. Right, so the person could go up lacher, may have esrim shana. He thinks he's a gevaldige yid, and they're going to tell him in shrim, you're roitzeach. Why? Because you didn't make sure the nails don't fall on the floor. I was once walking on Main Street, and there's a guy, he's a Jewish guy. He had a mug in David. He's standing in front of his shop with a nail clipper, like clipping his nails in public. Aside from the fact, maybe it's disgusting, but the Gemara says not disgusting. The guy's like a public murderer, People walking back and forth, but you have to be very careful. Now, what if you cut your nails and you put it in the avit shomei raglayim? Are you a tzaddik or are you a chassid?
Is it like a lachic thing or was it?
Oh, now the question is, why would you cause a woman to miscarry? Yeah. So the Ran says two pshatim. Either she'll be disgusted by it and it will cause her to miscarry. So how do you reconcile with the fact that the Gemara says it's not disgusting? We'll see. We'll see in a minute. That's part of the Gemara's kasha. Here we just said it's not. It's really shver, because in other words, it's be'etzem not disgusting. The Gemara before was saying it's be'etzem not disgusting. The only thing is, a woman, while she's pregnant, she's very sensitive, and therefore she could become disgusted by a miscarriage. Or the Ran says it's a supernatural thing, that it could mystically cause a woman to miscarry.
When that person says she could step on it and she could hurt herself, because she would jump up or whatever.
That what? She'll get scared, you mean?
No, she steps on it and it jumps up, but what is, you step on a nail or something, like it's sharp.
Oh, you mean with that, barefoot? Okay, maybe that's not. She's what? Look, where are you doing it? You're doing it outside. She's wearing shoes.
Or even in the house.
But maybe that's under the realm of show. It's news to her. So right. She steps on it.
Yeah, the Ran says either she'll be disgusted by it. It's a disgusting thing for her, or it's a mystical thing. But be doesn't. What if a person throws it in the Beis HaKiseh? What's the reason why it's better to burn it than to bury it? Because if you burn it, it will never resurface. If you bury it, it could resurface. What about if you throw it in the Beis HaKiseh? It could resurface one day. It could resurface. So again, you're allowed to. You're still a tzaddik, but you're not a chassid. I don't recommend saving it and burning it with the chametz. I recommend not a good idea, you know? But I do have cousins. I do have cousins in Eretz Yisrael. They burn their nails.
But in the meanwhile, where do they store it, though? So that's
a problem.
I don't know. I never. Okay. The bottom line is. Yeah. The bottom line is Rabbi Yochanan cut his nails and threw them in the shul. From there we learn it's not disgusting. From there we learn you're allowed to do it on Chol Hamoed. From there we learn that you're allowed to throw your nails. Says the Gemara. Isha be midrash lo shchicha. A woman in the Beis Medrash is not common. It's unlikely she'll be there. And therefore, you're allowed to. So, the bottom line is, you're allowed to bite your nails and throw them on the floor in the shul. That's halacha. Now, it might not be a.
Not on Shabbos.
Not on Shabbos. And not on Shabbos. What do you mean women might come here on Simchas Torah? We'll see. But the bottom line is, not common. What do you mean a woman might come in during the Kiddush? What's she doing? She shouldn't be here. That's, she should come on at her own risk. Right?
It's not
yeah.
But it happens sometimes, from time to time. I frak the Gemara
v'ki v'chitema zimnim demechanshi luhu v'shadi luhu avroi. Sometimes they're gathered, meaning how you like to throw them in the Beis Medrash. Sometimes they'll be gathered and they'll be thrown outside. No, kiven the ishtani. Once they've changed places, they change places. Meaning nails are only dangerous in the place that they fall. Once they've been moved around, they're no longer dangerous. So it comes out.
That
if you're
only helps if it's there's a mystical. If it's altsimius,
good. Why would that be?
Then
I don't know.
Then flushing should be a chassid.
Then flushing shouldn't be a problem, or burying it, because even if it resurfaces, it's a different.
But
place.
It might resurface in that spot, maybe.
But it already moved.
So the question is, what about throwing it in the garbage? I remember this was a shilah. Are you allowed to throw it in the garbage? Because
you're allowed to. You're a tzaddik, but are you a chassid? It could resurface.
No, even the
mean
garbage
it won't resurface
because when you flush it, then it goes away. Right? Instantly,
right?
It's in a different place. In the garbage, it's still around in the garbage for some time.
I don't know. I heard the water kind of like decontaminates it, like makes it like.
Yeah. Okay. Bottom line is, it sounds like you're like, if let's say somebody mistakenly cut nails in the house and they fell on the floor, so what you want to do is you sweep up the area. This way, you know, you get it out of a place where somebody might stand on it. Okay. So that's the halacha.
Does it apply to non-Jewish nails too? Good question.
Does it apply to non-Jewish nails?
Do people sitting on the subway clipping their nails?
I mean, you can't avoid, like, to me. Okay. How do you expect to be a pregnant woman? What's she supposed to do? Like, not
no, but is that something to worry about, or is it something?
I don't have to worry about it. She probably does.
I don't know. If the reason is disgusting, then Lechair applies to non-Jewish. If the reason is mystically, then I don't know. Amrav Yudam Arav, Zug ba me chamasan lefnei Rebbe. A pair of Tamei Cham came from a location called Chamasan before Rebbe. Umar Zutra Masni, Mar Zutra taught in a braisa, not that Rav said it, but it was taught in a braisa, Zug ba me chamasan lefnei Rebbe. So the other version is that it was taught in a braisa. Ubikshu mimenu tziparnayim, and they had a shaila whether you're allowed to cut your nails. as an Avel, presumably. V'hitir lahem, Rabbi matered it. And we could tell by the way he answered, v'imbikshu mimenu safa hitir lahem. If he would have asked, if they would have asked, could we cut a mustache, he would have matered that as well. Ushmuel amar av bikshu mimenu safa. Shmuel said, they take asked, could you cut your mustache, v'hitir lahem. And he matered it. So I saw a big chiddush. That the Shulchan Aruch paskins that an Avel is allowed to trim his mustache. No, stam. No, stam.
Just
stam.
This was a beard or just a mustache?
Just a mustache.
Yeah. Could you get me Shulchan Aruch Arachaim? Now, this is okay, I'm sorry. There's about Al Cholamoid. Then Al Cholamoid, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, I believe it's Chilakei. Chilakei Mishnah Berurah.
Mishnah
Berurah? Yeah, again, Mishnah Berurah Chilakei. I bought a bunch of them up there. Yeah, okay. Now, it doesn't say here whether it's Chol HaMoed, right? Or, and it doesn't say whether it's Chol HaMoed or... So if you look in Tosfos, Tosfos says, some say only through a shinoi, like nails, and it's only after Shiva. So Tosfos qualifies it doubly, that this heter to cut a mustache is only with a shinoi, and only after seven. But what about Chol HaMoed? What?
Right.
No, stam in general. What about Chol HaMoed? Ooh. Okay, sorry. Can you get me Vav? Sorry. What about on Chol HaMoed? Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Kolaymer, Ano chazino ladaite. I saw. Yishalu legalech hasafah yamatilhem de'in behem yishon bal tashkas pa'asikonecha. So Rashi learns completely differently. Rashi learns, what if you take a razor and you cut your mustache? Are you over using a razor? No. That's the chiddush of this Gemara. That's how the Chassam Sofer learns Rashi. That we learned, we saw that if we would have asked him, could we cut our mustache?
But a razor is a shinoi. Using a razor is a shinoi.
No, not that's if you cut your hair with a razor. But if you cut your face and you remove the hair of your face with a razor, that's not a shinoi.
Removing completely.
Completely. It's not hashchasa to use a razor on your mustache. Now, we don't do that today, but that's what the Gemara says. There's no, it's not one of the five corner points that you know how to use a razor on. Now, if you look in Siman Tav Kof Lamed Aleph.
It wasn't about actually cutting the hair, it was about whether or not you use a razor.
Yeah. Kol Baran Chol HaMoed, you listen to this. Mutter lital safa b'chol amoid. You're allowed to trim your mustache on chol amoid, even if it doesn't interfere with your eating. Stam tzalach and shulchan aruch. Bein b'misparayim, bein b'tar. V'afil einam akeves ha'achilos, says the Mishnah Berurah. It's an unknown halacha. It's an unknown halacha.
For everyone?
No, only Jews.
No, I mean like Ovel or...
No. Avel, Toysa says you need to use... Listen, Avel, Toysa says you need to use a shinoi. Avel, Toysa says only after Shiva. Chol HaMoed, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you're allowed to trim your mustache. I never knew this halacha, and I don't know anyone who does it. But nobody says anything.
The mustache, and you're going to look...
What?
You're going to look a little muggy. If you just shave your mustache...
Maybe it doesn't follow.
It means that you could trim
it. I feel Varhesia.
Does that mean trimming it, or you have to remove it completely?
Either.
No, let's say like...
Either, because the Mishnah Berurah says, Bein b'misparai and Bein b'tar. Either. So in other words, let's say like this, it comes out, I'm not... La'alocha v'loy l'maisa, we have to look into it more, but let's say, you know, someone who has a beard, so even if it doesn't interfere with your eating, let's say Erev Shabbos, most people have a beard, they trim over here to have a neat look, unless you're, you know, unless... You don't touch your hair unless chassidim. Some chassidim do touch this hair; they don't touch here. But many people trim over here. I would never do it on Chol HaMoed. You know, no, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed.
Maybe it's the same thing because you would trim it before. You're not worried you won't trim that part. Before.
I think because not nichlal in it says you're now to trim your hair. Your hair. This is not your hair.
You're allowed to use even a razor over there. So what's the problem using like anything? Well, it's not.
No, because you would have thought that they made a gzera not to do it because you might come to go into Yom Tov unkempt. No, they never decreed about this area.
No, they're not worried that like once you start over here, you're going to continue going?
Apparently not, right? It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's an amazing halacha. I didn't know this. Okay, fine. Amar Avital. Amar Avital Safra Mishmei Derav Papa. Avital describes the name of Papa. Safa, what is the mustache? Mizavis Lazavis, from one corner to the other. Amar Avami Uvisafa Hame'akeves. But this is only talking about the mustache that interferes with eating. Again, by Avilus. But by Chol HaMoed, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if it's not Ma'akeves. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, L'didi K'savah Ma'akeves Damili. By me, all of my hair on my mustache interferes with my eating. Why? Because I'm an istanis. I'm anino datoy. So all the hair, I get very, very bothered by it. I'm an istanis, and therefore all I'm always allowed to trim by Avelos.
So he's talking about a person that feels the same way, or he's saying across all board?
This halach is for istanis. You have to be classified.
No, in other words, Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, for me...
So he's saying only for himself. He's not.
Correct. No, he's saying that even though it doesn't get into my mouth, we just said that only when hair gets into your mouth are you allowed to trim it. He's saying, all my hair is like it gets into my mouth. It bothers me. Va'amar Avita, now once we said halacha from Avital Safra, Mishnedra Papa, Va'amar Avital Safra, Mishnedra Papa, Paroi Shahaya B'mei Moshe, the Pharaoh in the times of Moshe, Hu Amma, he was an Amma tall, so even according to Chazon Ish, he was only 2 feet tall. Uzakena Amma, his beard was an Amma. His beard, the beard is the glory of a person, so that means he was very vain, he was very into his looks. It doesn't mean his, that, because then it would come out that the beard was dragging on the floor, because the top of his head was an Amma and his beard was an Amma. His beard was dragging on the floor. Uparmashtikoy Amma, his male organ was an Amma, Vizeras, and a hand length, meaning an Amma and a half. So his male organ was taller than him. What does that mean? He's a big Baltaiva. Lakayema Shinemar, this comes, now this is a Yusoid Gadol. I can't explain exactly, I can't say it out. But v'hamevin yavin. From here we learn u'shval anoshim yakim alei. The biggest low lives Hashem appoints to be rulers over countries. Okay, so that's the way it goes. That Hashem takes the lowest people, like Paroi, who's a big bal taiva and a grubba mensch, and he made him the king. Fine. V'amar avital safra mishmeidra papa. Paroi shahaya b'mei Moshe. Paroi was in the time of Moshe. Amgushi haya. He was a bona fide, certified Amgushi. What's an Amgushi? It's a machloikis in the Gemara Shabbos. Rashi says, Rav and Shmuel. Rav said he was a sorcerer, and therefore he would go out to the river because machashefam need water. And some say he was a blasphemer, and he would go out to the water because he didn't want people to know that he didn't have to take care of his needs. Shenemar hine yoytze hamayim. He went out to the water, either to do sorcery or to go to the bathroom before anybody would see. Fine. Ve'elu mechabsim v'mayid. The following are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Haba me'medina sayam. One who comes from overseas. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Here's another exception for someone who could do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Mi she'en lo yela cholak echad. One who only has one shirt, mutter lechabsa b'chol HaShemayid, is allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Because what's the reason you're not allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed? Because we want to make sure that you do the laundry before Yom Tif. But this guy's going to do the laundry before Yom Tif anyway, because he only has one shirt, and even if he does, it will still get dirty.
Yeah, because he's going to be wearing a robe, so they'll know that he's washing.
Right, good.
He only has one.
Good, good. In fact, the Gemara, what are you talking about? The Mishnah didn't give this as an exception. Masra B'Yirmiyah, Eilu Mechabsim B'Maid, the following are allowed to do laundry on Chol HaMoed. Haba M'Mdina Sam, someone who comes from overseas, and someone who gets out of jail and someone who recovers, hani in mishen leil chalak achaloi. Only these cases, not someone who only has one garment. Amale Rav Yaakov the Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yaakov said to Rav Yirmiya, no, Azver lecha, I'll explain this to you. Masnis, and the Mishnah is talking about afagav the islay trei umatanfi. The Mishnah's exceptions are people who have two garments. So even if you have two garments, if somebody was sick, somebody got out of jail, they didn't have a chance to do laundry before, they could do it on Chol HaMoed. But this is a separate category of someone who only has one type of garment. Shalach, we're going to get to the Mishnah. Shalach Rav Yitzchak Bar Yaakov. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yaakov sent Bar Giyuri, the son of Giyuri, Mishmei de Rav Yochanan, Kli Pishtan, linen garments, Mutter Lechabsan B'chol HaShemayit. You're allowed to launder them on Chol HaMoed. Linen garments, you're allowed to launder them on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because they're very easy to clean, so it's a very light process. In fact, the Gemara Masav Rava, but we learned earlier on Daf Yud, Dalet, that what? The Mishnah, matpechas hayadayim, hand towels, matpechas asaparim, barber towels, are you allowed to do laundry on chalamayit? Hani in kli pishdan loy, but not linen. Says the Gemara, Amar le'abai masis nafilu d'sharmini. The Mishnah is talking about things not out of linen. But ain't a chanami, linen you're allowed to wash. Amar bar Hidaya, Rav Hidaya said, Ledidi chazili, I saw Yama shel Tveria, the sea in Tveria, the mafkila, that they would take out, meshichli, bowls, the mani kisni, of linen garments, b'chol demayed. Basically, I saw by the way, look at the top Rashi, clay pishtan, delay nafish tircha. It's not a lot of tircha. I saw in Tveria, the linen laundry was going nonstop on chalamayed. So usually we see that, you know, there's a rule in halacha that if you're mesupik, ru ma amadaber, see what people are doing. So it carries some weight. What people are doing carries some weight, but the Gemara says not enough. Maskef labayi man leimelon derazon chama avdi. Who says they were following what the chachamim wanted? Dilma shloibrusan chachamim avdi. Maybe it wasn't really right. I mean, listen. If it was outright usur, and then the fact that people are doing it might mean something. But it could still be that it's not proper. And if it's just not proper, that doesn't mean the Chachamim will speak up. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll hold it over here. And with your permission, we'll try to do tonight. Okay? Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.